Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you once again to this video. As you can see, I'm joined once again in this video by my friend Nate. It'd be great if I could talk, Nate.
Yeah, it's early. It's not your fault.
So how are you this morning?
Good. Still waking up, but how are you?
I've been unfortunately awake for 2 hours already, so.
Why?
I told you, I never sleep well on a Saturday night going into a Sunday morning. Got too much on my mind. Hey, I do want to just say, give you a shout out, Nate, here in this video and congratulate you on finishing your master's degree. That was great text that you sent me yesterday. You want to just quickly inform everybody about that? What was your master's in and how long did it take you? And congrats on that.
It was in a master's in pastoral theology with focus on biblical exposition. It took me way too long to finish. I think I started into my master's in 2020 and then just took like one class at a time and ticked away at it. Don't know. So.
All right. Well, congrats on that. So the reason I asked Nate to come on in this video is Nate and I, as followers of this channel, as well as Nate's channel, know we've been engaging with various aspects of King James Bible defense over the last, year to 18 months, thereabouts. Nate's had me on his channel. I've obviously had Nate here. And we've done things related to numerology, we've talked about quite extensively about King James Bible Gnosticism and some of the stuff that Gary Roverino has had to say about the 1611 and a lot of other things related to this particular topic. And we're going to cover something related to this again in this video. And what I want to cover and talk through with Nate is some things related to the use of AI, artificial intelligence, in King James Bible defense. And what's sparking this is two videos that have come out in the last 3 months, okay? The first one was released, I'll share this here on the screen. The first one was released, let me see here, June 28, 2025. And this one was released by Gary Roverino. And as you can see here on the screen, it's titled Demystifying the Apocrypha. I back Chat GPT into Apocrypha Corner, Chat GPT Repents. So as the title of this suggests, what this is, if you watch this whole video, is Gary going through a dialogue with Chat GPT regarding is Jesus quoting from the Apocrypha regarding the giving of alms, and is the Apocrypha scripture? And so Gary is using ChatGPT. He's engaging it with a series of questions and gets ChatGPT, to relent and admit or confess, or to use Gary's word, repent, that the Apocrypha is in fact scripture. So that's kind of the goal. Nate, it's not my goal. We're not going to watch all these videos. We're more after the methodologies that are being used in these videos to make the points. But that's kind of the gist of this first video from June. Did you have anything you want to say before I throw up the second video?
No, not yet.
Okay. The second video is this video right here. So just bear with me for 1 second. It's this video that was done by Brandon Peterson on Truth is Christ. And as you can see, the title here is Gronk Learns KJV Patterns and Its Conclusion Will Bother Many. So essentially what's going on in this particular video is Brandon is using Gronk, which is the AI that apparently Elon Musk says is the smartest AI, to subject his patterns to related to numerology in the King James Bible. And he's essentially going to get Gronk to admit that the patterns, the numerological patterns that he is subjecting to Gronk, are not coincidence, but they are evidence of design and inspiration in the King James Bible. Okay. Now, I want to be clear. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired word of God in English by the definitions of derivative inspiration that we've been talking about also recently on this channel. So I don't take issue with that. I take issue with the use of AI in this conversation.
Yeah.
So did you want to say anything about that, Nate?
Right. So just to kind of state it, I guess, clearly, you have two gentlemen who we have spent some time talking about their methodologies, talking about how they've come to their conclusions. Both these gentlemen are using AI platforms to try to use as proof that their position is correct. Both of them are saying AI has proved them correct, yet both of them are disagreeing with each other and with us about the conclusions. Not that the King James is the word of God, but that either numerology is the way you go about establishing it, or that the Apocrypha is also supposed to be in the canon of Scripture. And so at this point, now we have these three different groups all using AI to say they're right.
Yeah, so obviously Gary believes that the Apocrypha is Scripture and should be viewed as authoritative along with the Old and New Testament. Brandon does not agree with Gary about that.
Right.
Both of them do use numerology in the enunciation of their different positions. Now I still say that, you know, I don't put Brandon in the same category as Gary as far as some of the things that Brandon is arguing for, et cetera. Although there are similarities between them in the methodology, right, as far as the use of numerology. But my observation as I watched these two videos was that, again, you've got two guys, as you just said, you've got two guys that don't agree with each other about different aspects of the position, but they're using the same methodology to justify the conclusions that they are coming to. So I think that's the main thing that we want to talk about here in this particular video, right? Is what do you make of AI being used in this way, and where does all this leave us as far as proof or evidence of the claims that are being made? So just to be honest, forthright, and above board here, so what I did is I made transcripts of these two videos, and then I subjected them to AI myself, and had AI analyze AI for the purposes of a thought experiment on what would AI say. Okay.
Right.
Now, before we go any further with this, I think now would be a good time to play the video of the lady who also used AI to point out numerological patterns in the Quran, and therefore prove or make an argument that the Quran is therefore inspired and not a coincidence, et cetera. So I'm going to share this here. We played this video in one of our videos on numerology, but here we go.
Hey, ChatGPT, I have a question. Can you please read the Quran for me and tell me how many times the word angel and the word devil is mentioned?
In the Quran, the words angel and devil are equally mentioned 88 times. This is often seen as representing a balance between good and evil forces.
That's interesting. What about the words man and women?
Man and woman are each mentioned 24 times, symbolizing the balance and equality between them in the eyes of God.
What about life and death?
145 times.
And heaven and hell?
77 times.
Wow. What about love and hate?
26 times each.
Wow. And this is all meant to be a coincidence and written by an illiterate man?
These intricate patterns in the Quran, written by an illiterate man, are seen by many as clear evidence of divine authorship rather than mere coincidence.
My mind is blown. What do you guys think?
So there you have it, Nate. Now we have a lady who's using the same methodologies, asking ChatGPT to read the Quran, and you know,
gives us
Something's playing in the background. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
The same, you know, it's not a coincidence. It can't be a coincidence,
right.
These patterns in the Quran. It has to be for evidence of something greater.
Right.
So what do you make, Nate, of this use of numerology, the video of the lady using numerology to prove the Quran, and where does all this sit with you?
Well, okay, so the lady is easier as an example, I think, for a lot of our viewers, because most of our viewers are probably Christian, and a lot of them are probably favorable to King James Bible. So they don't want to necessarily go against that. So using her as an example, I think, is good, because people will go, okay, well, we know the Quran's not the word of God. We know that. But yeah, she's using the same exact methodology and using AI to show that the Quran has some of these unique patterns that show up, that even have some of those significant numbers that either Roverino or Gary would use, like 77 times. So what do you make of that? Well, how would you say she's wrong? And that's where we go back to how you and I have pushed a lot that Christians need to start studying logic. They need to start thinking more critically, because how do you break this tie? In my mind, you have a tie. You have two people or two groups of people using AI, using numerology, but using it on different books and both claiming those books are the inspired word of Allah or of God. How would you break that tie? And I think you have to either break it by looking at other things like robust doctrines within them, internal consistencies, history, archaeology, prophecy and fulfillment in history, looking at how does this actually play out in real life? Do we have any real evidence that Muhammad actually ever was a real person? In fact, we don't. The earliest evidence we have is 1400 years removed or something like that from him. And it's not even Muhammad, it's Musil. So how do you break the tie? You get out of your little silo and you go look at the rest of the data we have in life to look and weigh it again. So I think the same thing is true. And we've done this with both Gary Roverino and we've done it with Brandon Peterson. If you back out of that silo of, we're just going to confirm our bias that numerology is true and it's only true in the King James Bible, and you go look at the rest of the world, you're going to see that, yes, we can prove that the King James Bible is the word of God without numerology, without this weird stuff. We can do it through the sciences and the history and philosophy and logic and weigh it that way instead.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me that they would go the route of now employing AI into this conversation,
right,
as a way of trying to verify their individual views related to these particular topics. And I found AI to be wrong a lot. Just as a case in point, I recently was working on some upcoming lessons on when we reboot the From This Generation Forever class at the end of October, coming up next month. And I was reading something talking about the textual history of the text after 1769, and the source that I was reading was talking about the word alien. And there's a variant of alien, A-L-I-N-T, aliant, and it said that it was in the 1611, and it said that it was in the 1611 in a certain particular verse, most notably Ephesians 2:12. So I went and looked at Ephesians 2:12 and the 1611, and it wasn't there. It was the spelling was the same way we would spell alien, A-L-I-E-N. So I went to ChatGPT and I asked for it to find the spelling of that word for me in the 1611, and it kept coming up with Ephesians 2:12. And so I went to the He Bible and the She Bible, both iterations of the 1611 from that year, and I could not find the data that ChatGPT was sharing with me. And so I'm like, well, wait a minute. So I kind of have an issue with that, just on the face of, you know, AI is not always right. And particularly in the case of the numerology, I asked AI, specifically Copilot, What is AI able to detect numerological patterns in a text, like what, you know, in the way that Brandon Peterson was subjecting his numerological patterns through Gronk? And this is what it said to me, Nate. It said, so I said, can AI detect these patterns on its own? And it said, yes, but with important caveats. Here's a breakdown. It says, what AI can do? Textual analysis at scale. AI can scan the entire King James Bible or any version and count word frequency, positions, and patterns. It can identify repetitions, numerological alignments like 343 equals 7 to the third power, and cross-reference terms across books. And it said it can discover patterns with the right prompts, and I think this is a key, with the right prompts or goals, example, find all instances where word counts align with multiples of 7, AI can surface patterns without being told what to look for superficially. It says that what AI needs help with, defining significant patterns. AI doesn't inherently know which patterns are meaningful, example, 7 times 7 times 7 versus 6 times 6 times 6, unless guided by theological or symbolic content. It needs a framework,
right,
like biblical numerology or theological significance to prioritize certain numbers,
right,
avoiding cherry picking. Without constraints, AI may find patterns, some coincidental. Human guidance helps filter out noise and focus on patterns with theological or textual relevance. Okay. So the idea here then is that AI is not. So I said, how many of these patterns discussed in the transcript were selectively fed? Based on analysis of the transcript we found, and then it gives me a bunch of patterns. Most of the patterns were selectively fed to the AI by the speaker, meaning they were already identified and presented for evaluation. The AI contributed by critically analyzing the patterns, asking qualifying questions, and highlighting implications. So I said, are you saying that AI picked up the 40 patterns because of what was selectively fed into it? Great follow-up, Brian, to clarify. Those 40 patterns weren't independently discovered by AI from scratch. Instead, they were responses, reflections, or extensions based on the 66 patterns that were selectively fed into the conversation by the speaker.
Right.
So what is this proving then, Nate? I don't understand what it proves to Brandon Peterson's point that why run all this stuff through an AI? What is all this proving, if anything?
Yeah, and so for both gentlemen in their use of AI, I have the same problem that we had in the videos we made before. They're utilizing AI, which is fine as a tool. I'm not saying you shouldn't use AI to help with any part of it. Obviously, we are using it as well, and that's our point. Like, anyone can use it, and the problem is when you start presenting your data like, aha, I ran it through AI and somehow this magical AI robot told me I'm right, so you should believe me, trust me now on this authority of AI. And they're passing it off to their audience who, by and large, if they're getting convinced by this, don't understand how AI really works and its limitations and how far you can push it. And it's that dishonesty level for me that's really hard to get behind, which we pointed out in both of these gentlemen in our prior videos assessing them, is when you're pushing this data, it works on people who don't understand. The numerology works on people who don't understand math and don't understand that this stuff happens in every human language and in every book of sufficient length. Like, that is a normal thing that occurs. And so pushing it like it's somehow unique, my position is completely unique because AI said I'm right, is dishonest. It's just not presenting the facts as they are. You and I sent you one of my papers for school to run through AI and check it for whether or not it followed my thesis well, and offer suggestions on how to strengthen my paper. It assumed my position as a dispensationalist. It didn't tell me, it didn't analyze my paper and say, hey, you're wrong, dispensationalism isn't true. It just automatically assumed my position was the correct position and offered suggestions along the line, assuming my position was correct. Well, that's not helpful if I'm trying to prove my position correct, because it's just assuming it. And it, the same is true with both these gentlemen and the young lady using it as well. ChatGPT or any of these things assumes your position is the correct position based on how you ask your question. So it's somewhat disingenuous to use AI as a like authority on your position and in your conclusion and say, I'm right because this authority of AI says I'm right.
Well, I think, and that's kind of the thing that troubles me about it is like the AI is only as smart as what you feed into it.
Right.
And so I asked some questions along these lines too. I said, so AI could not have found those patterns without direct prompting by the speaker, correct? Exactly right. To be clear and direct, AI could not have found those specific patterns without being prompted by the speaker. Here's why. The patterns were already discovered and then presented to the AI for evaluation. So this gets to a point that you have raised, I feel, with some of the numerology stuff about cherry picking numbers, right? And I don't think that's really ever been sufficiently answered as far as I can tell.
No.
The patterns were already discovered and then presented to the AI for valuation. The AI's role in the transcript was to verify the math example, 343 equals 7 to the third power, ask critical questions, and reflect. Could AI find patterns like these on its own? Yes, but only if, number one, it were given the entire Bible text. Number two, it is told to look for numerological or symbolic patterns.
Right.
Three, it is guided to prioritize certain themes like seven divine names, bookends, etc. Without that direction, AI might have found patterns, but not necessarily the ones that are theologically or symbolically meaningful. Okay. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it also said somewhere in there, it said any version, you know, the King James or any version that's fed in. And that's the point. If you were to take a sufficiently long text and submit it to AI, tell it to read it, and then told it to look for certain number patterns, and not just repetitions in number, but it could be derivatives, it could be exponents, it could be adding various digits in it together to make that number, or multiples of that number. And since, you know, as we've seen in numerology, there's pretty much no rules on it. You can do whatever you want so long as you eventually make some significant number from scripture. AI could potentially find an infinite number of examples in the ESV, for example, if you feed it the right data. And so, yeah, that's the weird part looking at this is, yes, AI is only as good as the data you feed it, the questions you ask it, and its database to begin with. So like with your example, it had faulty database for the 1611 text. So it's going to get things wrong. Its counts are going to be off because the data that was originally fed into it was fed in more than likely by a human who didn't obviously spend as much time looking at the various editions of the King James that you and Boyko and Yetzer have. And so they didn't have a catalog of all these digitized versions to look at. And yeah, you're really handing over, and this is one of the things that kind of is one of the fears I have about AI, is that Christians already have a hard time turning their brains on. AI, I think, just makes it easier to never turn your brain on. And I feel like there's going to be a lot more speakers online or in the pulpits who are going to basically just hand all their sermon prep, all their study time over to AI to spit out a sermon. And we're never going to really have intelligent pastors and speakers anymore. That's my fear.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a fear. I want to be clear. We're not, like, accusing either of these two men of,
right.
of doing that.
No.
But what we are saying that we are struggling through the idea of, how, you know, the fact that they're both using AI now to try to prove something. They're both coming at very key aspects of this from different angles where they do not agree with each other. We got the third person now, the lady with the Quran, who doesn't agree with them. And then what we did is what more particularly me, I suppose, is I took made transcripts. I subjected them to an AI and I said, analyze these and say with the question of can AI come up with this stuff on its own or does it need to be fed this stuff? And the answer is exactly what I kind of thought it would be going into it, and that is that AI is not going to find these things unless the human presents the patterns to AI, which means then that they've already been selectively filtered and arrived at prior to. So I don't understand what any of that really proves.
Yeah, and someone might say, well, you guys are using AI in this video to say that they're wrong, you know, and you just said that you shouldn't trust AI. And that's the whole point. Like,
right, exactly.
If they're using it to say they're right, we can use it too. And if we use it and say we're right, well, then everybody's right, or we shouldn't trust AI and we end up being right. Like, and again, I think that you and I have used AI multiple times recently. We've started playing with it. And as a tool, it is a useful tool to speed up things like editing. For me to submit my paper and have it look for editations went way faster than having, you know, you or another friend look through a 25-page paper and try to figure that all out. It would take you, you know, quite a while to get back to me with that, where AI can spit it back out in a matter of a couple minutes. You know, so as a tool, yeah, I think it's very helpful, but yeah, I'm very hesitant to say that, you know, Christians ought to be handing over their brains to AI to do all their critical thinking and heavy lifting, rather than where we should be is in studying God's word. And that's, I think, the core problem that you and I both have with this is, should Christians really be going all in on AI, or should we go all in on scripture and what scripture says? What is our final authority on all matters of faith and practice?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never used AI. Obviously, right. It's good for editing. I'm using it right now. And like, to your point, like, we're using it to make a sort of a rhetorical point, and that is, if I subject the stuff that those two brothers made in those videos to AI, AI tells me that there's really not a lot of validity behind what the other AI said, right? So I asked also, I said, is AI only capable of analyzing based upon data and questions it is presented with? And here's what I got. Yes. That's a fair and accurate statement. AI is only capable of analyzing based on, number one, data it is given, and number two, the questions it is asked. Here's why. AI doesn't know anything until it is told. It doesn't have beliefs, opinions, or awareness. It processes information based on what you feel. It processes information based on what you feel, whether that's a Bible verse, a data set, or a philosophical question. Number two, the quality of analysis depends on the input. If you give AI vague or biased data, it may produce vague or biased results. If you ask precise, well-framed questions, it can produce deep, insightful analysis. Three, AI doesn't initiate exploration. It won't go looking for patterns or contradictions unless you ask it to. It doesn't decide what's important, you do.
Right.
So summary, AI is a mirror of your inquiry.
Yep.
Let me see here. Did we lose the video?
No.
Interesting. I'm sorry. AI is a mirror of your inquiry. The smarter and more intentional your questions and data, the smarter and more meaningful AI's analysis. And then I asked it, Nate, let me see here. I thought this was an interesting question, and this might be a good place to kind of end this, unless you had any comments there.
Yeah, I think, like I said, it is a, it basically leaves up all the interpretation to the individual, which goes all the way back to what we've been circling around for a while, that this is some kind of circular reasoning or confirmation bias. When you're using AI, like I said earlier, it already assumes your position, depending on how you frame your question. So, like, I didn't ask it, hey, do you think my position is correct on my paper? I just said, hey, tell me how to better match my thesis statement. And it just assumed it was correct and said I did a good job. So, it is just basically you using a tool that largely is going to agree with you, depending on how you frame your questions, what data you feed into it. And it is going to come up with biased results based on how you frame your questions and how honest your questions and data are. So, yeah, if you're going to feed in bad data, you're going to get out bad conclusions, and it's not going to necessarily go the distance to correct everything you do.
So the bottom line here, I guess, is I'll say this for myself, and then I'll ask you. I don't find any of this argumentation in defense of the KJV, either by Gary and the Apocrypha or the numerology that Brandon is subjecting it to. I don't find any of this convincing in the least bit either way. Do you?
No, I mean, because it didn't matter. They already said this stuff without AI, and it wasn't convincing. Just because you tell AI to basically fact check a couple numbers. Again, we already had all those issues with, are we even supposed to be doing numerology? And we haven't established that from the scriptures. So again, we've said this over and over and over with both these guys. Show us biblical text that clearly enunciates a robust doctrine of numerology in scripture that we can actually look at. Take any other of the major 12 or 13 doctrines, depending on how you break them down, soteriology and salvation. There are hundreds and hundreds of passages dealing with how to be saved, what goes into being saved, what benefits are there for being saved, why God purposed it that way, what his plan was all along in salvation, why it was necessary, some intricate things with like justification, sanctification, glorification, adoption, redemption, atonement, all these things that are wrapped up in that doctrine. It's very robust. So, and there's so much data in scripture on it that we can have internal debates, you know, in-house debates between Christians, like Reformed theologians and their soteriology and non-Reformed theologians and their soteriology. We can actually debate and write volume after volume after volume for different positions based on biblical texts and how to interpret those texts. So where is that level of robust doctrine on numerology in scripture? And that's what I want to see. Can you put out a dissertation level paper exegeting passages of scripture that clearly demonstrate a robust doctrine of numerology? Not just that numbers are important in scripture. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't want to see a whole paper on just, well, it says there were seven men here, so that's, you know, numerology. No, numerology as they're using it.
Yeah, I want to, to me, it's still an outstanding question. What numerology is legitimate? What verse tells you?
Right.
What verse tells you how to count? What verse tells you what to count?
Right.
What verse tells you to do any of this stuff at all, period?
Right.
And again, that is what we're saying. That's not meaning that we don't recognize that there is significance to the way God uses certain numbers.
Right.
But those things are germane to the text of the Bible itself.
Right. Right.
You know, obviously 12 is significant as it relates to the nation of Israel.
Right.
7 is significant. 3 is significant. 40 is significant. Because of the way the biblical text
right.
uses these numbers. But so
right.
we're not doubting or questioning that. What we're questioning is this numerological stuff that is being done, that is gaining prevalence within
right.
the pro-King James space. What verses say what is legitimate? Is gematria illegitimate? Is ordinal gematria? Is regular, or I forget the other one,
right.
the name of the other one. Bible codes,
yep.
ELS, you know, what, so what is legitimate? What is it? What verses tell us? What verses tell us how to do this?
Right.
I still have not seen this.
Right.
The other thing that I want to just mention here is maybe it might be fitting to give maybe some advice at the end of this video for, say, proper use of AI.
Mm-hmm.
Or how to use AI better or more effectively as a tool.
Right.
And I do have some feedback here about it. Okay. So framework for asking AI better questions. Number one, start with a clear objective. Ask yourself, what am I trying to prove, test, or understand? Is it a pattern, a doctrinal claim, a historical connection, or a linguistic detail? All right. Number two, define the scope. Be specific about which translation, example, 1611 King James, ESV, NIV, etc., which books, Genesis, Apocrypha, Gospels, which terms or phrases. Ask, number three, ask for comparison or correlation. This is where AI shines. Ask it to compare verses side by side, analyze word frequency or phrase repetition, identify thematic or doctrinal parallels. Number four, challenge the AI's assumptions. This is a huge one in my opinion.
Right.
If AI gives a generic or surface level answer, press deeper. Ask for evidence. Ask for exceptions. Ask for historical context. And number five, ask for theological implications. What does this mean doctrinally? How does this align with other scriptures? Is this consistent with known and other theology or known facts?
Right.
Okay. So, I think that we can use AI as a tool for things,
right.
But we just have to be careful and understand that it is only going to interact with us and interface with us at number one, the level of the information that it has, and number two, the questions that the user
right.
subjects to it.
Right. Yeah. And even with those, you still have to have your own framework to sift through this stuff. So that's where, you know, understanding the scriptures comes before AI. You have to already have a good understanding, working knowledge of the scriptures, as well as a good understanding of reasoning, and what is true, how does truth apply. And so all the AI stuff, yes, it's a useful tool, but it still has to be filtered through the laws of logic and what scripture already says is true, and you have to filter it through that. You can't just say, well, AI says it, so it's true. No, it's got to pass the laws of logic and what scripture already affirms is true.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. It's almost like it's really no different in a way. You know, Paul makes a famous statement about the Bereans, right? About how
right.
they were more noble than them in Thessalonica
right.
and that they received the word with all readiness of
right.
mind and searched the scriptures
right.
to see whether
right.
those things are so. It's like
right.
the same thing. You've got to do the same thing with AI that you would do with
right.
me or yourself
right.
or any other Bible teacher that's saying stuff. You have
right.
to take what's being said back
right.
to scripture, analyze it, think about it, pray about it
right.
before you just,
right.
oh, that must be true because so-and-so said that or XAI said it.
Right, and that's exactly what we're calling for with these gentlemen. Like, take what they're saying, listen to it, think about it, go back to scripture. And like we said, we haven't found it. We've issued the challenge multiple times. The challenge hasn't been picked up by them to actually give out real biblical data that demonstrates this stuff. So as Bereans, we've gone back to the Bible and we've said, we can't find it. So unless you can tell us where to look in the Bible for this, it's not there. So that's, you know, my challenge to anyone is, okay, yeah, you can listen to what they have to say, but then go back to scripture and go back to logic, filter it through that, and I can't find it. So now what? Is it true or is it not true?
Yeah, and like I've said also in prior videos on this on these subjects is I already believe that the King James Bible was God's
right.
word for English-speaking
right.
people way before I encountered any of this numerology. And I
yeah.
did so because of the doctrines of inspiration and preservation, and then what I find in history mm-hmm. about preservation that led me to the conclusion that the King James Bible is God's word for English-speaking people without all of this numerological so-called evidence and proof.
Right.
Before we give the gospel and conclude this video, Nate, was there anything that you wanted to say regarding this topic of AI and King James Version defense?
I think just in summary, I find how these two individuals have used AI to not be a genuine inquiry into finding truth. I think both of them, either on accident or on purpose, however you want to take it, have used it to confirm a bias, which we've already shown true in the video series we did about each of them. I don't find it convincing. And just that, yeah, Christians need to go back to the Word of God. If you can't find it clearly in the Word of God, then it's definitely, it doesn't mean it's not true altogether, but it's definitely something we can't be closed-fisted about or pour too much time, effort, energy in. It's one of those things that's, you know, delving into angels and things that you're not aware of. If the Bible doesn't really talk about it, I don't think it's something we should spend our entire ministry just dealing with constantly.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Nate, and engaging again in the conversation. Again, the purpose of this video was not to watch and dissect all of the argumentation that was made in the two videos shown earlier. By the way, I'll leave a link in the description to this video for people who want to go check those videos out themselves. Our main point was to engage with the use of AI and how AI was being used here, and then have a conversation about legitimate and illegitimate use of AI. I suppose we're talking in the context of King James Bible defense, but more generally and more broadly, just in any theological endeavor, any Bible study endeavor, any attempt at exegeting the scriptures, just be careful and make sure that the scriptures are your final authority and not an AI tool. So with that said, Nate, would you mind closing this video by giving the folks the gospel?
Yeah. You know, this video and the videos that we make, obviously they deal with some theological and methodological stuff. That's all good and important, but there's nothing more important than the gospel, and that you, if you have not believed the gospel, that you do. And very simply, the gospel is simply this, that God loves us, that even though we are sinners, that we do things that are wrong, that are evil, morally, that go against what God said. The Bible tells us that even while we were his enemies, he sent his son Jesus to die for us. And so Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, died on a cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And the Bible says that if we believe in that and we trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross, where he paid the price for the sins that we committed, that we could never earn our salvation, but that Christ paid the way and he made atonement for us. And if we trust in that, and that exclusively, that God promises to give to you as a present possession, eternal life, something that can never be taken away, never lost, never rejected or thrown away, because it is eternal. So that's the gospel. Simply believe in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for you on the cross and his death, burial, and resurrection, and you can have eternal life.
Great. Thank you, Nate. Appreciate that. And as always, appreciate everybody tuning in, and we will see you next time.